This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka nabiyyana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasleeman kathira thumma amma ba'd. Where do you guys think the most expensive real estate, the most expensive real estate that you pay for, where can you find that? Silver Leaf? Right? Beverly Hills? Is it New York? Is it Mecca? Right in front of the Kaaba, Jamaa, there in front of the Kaaba? The most expensive one and the most valuable one. The most valuable one, we'll find it in Jannah. Let's hear that from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In this very short hadith, hadith Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, hadith number 1888 in Riyadh al-Salihin, قال وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لقاب قوس في الجنة خير مما تطلع عليه الشمس أو تغرب. متفق عليه. In this hadith, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he says لقاب قوس في الجنة, the space in paradise equal to the distance between the middle and the end of a bow will be better than all that upon which the sun rises and sets. Rawahu al-Bukhari Muslim. If you have done archery, so you have the bow and you have the string, right? So what is qab al-qawsain or qab al-qaws? When you hold the bow in your left hand, the distance between where your hand is resting and the tip from the top or the bottom, that's called the qab. Qab al-qaws. So how big is that? And what's the space area, the area space that will occupy between these two points and the string? How much space you're going to have there, Jamaa? Maybe enough space to put your foot on it, right? Just standing on one foot, not even 2 feet. Just that space. So the Prophet ﷺ says, لَقَابُ قَوْسٍ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. If you have this much space in Jannah, wow, that is more valuable than anything in this universe. Because when the Prophet says sun rises and sets, he doesn't mean just the earth. Where does the sun rise, Jamaa? All this huge universe that see around you, subhanallah, all of this, that same thing. How valuable is that to you? It's a lot. Which means you have to pay so much for such a space in Jannah. Imagine if you have more than that, Jamaa. Imagine if you have much more than that. How much value you put in that? Now, in this dunya, the value of a real estate is based on what? Based on what, Jamaa? Huh? Location. And what is the location? What do you need for that location, basically? Based on what as well? Depends. If you're looking for commercial, what are you looking for? For traffic. People, right? If you want to open a store. Have you seen stores in Mecca? You know, maybe back in the days before they have these fancy markets and buildings and malls. Before that, I don't know how many of you remember doing this Umrah in the 1990s and so on. I remember the alleys of Mecca and Medina where you find these stores. Sometimes people, they don't even have a, there is no store. Literally, there is nothing. They just have some sort of like a maybe one foot into the wall, that all what they have is they put all their merchandise there. And when they open that tiny little door, they open it just like this, and they pull that thing out and they open it. And now they're selling whatever they sell over there. Masbah, you know, some gifts and souvenirs and so on. And guess what? They make a lot of money out of it. And if you ask them how much rent they pay for this little tiny spot, God knows how much it was. Subhanallah. So the little space, because there's so much traffic for this. In terms of houses, location also matters. What are you looking for in that house? Of course, you're looking for what? The neighborhood. You're looking for the school district. For, you know, all these kind of valuable things that you have. Being close to the masjid, mashallah, for us over here, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. And I don't know how many of you guys know that, especially the newcomers to the area. That area across the masjid, supposed to be actually the Indian Mall, they call it. That's what they call it. It was supposed to be commercial area. It's supposed to be actually a nice, beautiful, you know, strip mall built over here with a lot of stores and all kind of stuff. But the moment we designated this land for the masjid, they immediately changed the zoning and they thought the Muslims are going to buy these houses. So they changed the zoning and they made it actually into residential. And I still remember the first house that was built in Campion Hollow 2, of Camp in Hollow One, actually. The first house I was built over here, I don't know if the brother is still here or not. He has the first house in the neighborhood. Actually, it was, believe it or not, for those who bought houses recently here, the first house that was built 12 years ago, it was actually $327,000 or $72,000. That's 12 years ago. Right now, the house across the street are at how much, a Jama'ah? 1.2, 1.3, tabarakallah. What's the reason behind that? The prime location, right? People that say, you, Sheikh Yasser, right? But seriously, it's the prime location because, alhamdulillah, people would love to come to the masjid. And that location, mashallah, for them, it's worth every penny they're willing to pay for it. And they don't mind it. Why? Because when it comes to the valuable stuff, we start valuing them by what? By the little increments and little pieces. That's why when you sell, for example, steel or copper, what kind of measuring unit we use for that? Tons. You're not going to use kilos, right? Use tons or pounds. But if you're going to start selling, for example, meat or grocery, what is the measuring unit we use? Pounds. When you want to sell cheese, what do you use? Ounces, right? And now when it comes to something more valuable like gold, how do you sell gold? Grams. And if you're going to sell diamonds, what do you use? Carat, right? When you start using now hasanat and sayyat, what is the unit that you use? The speck of a dust. This is how much is valuable. You put value on a speck of a dust, or as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٌ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ, the seed of mustard. Very tiny little thing. You can't even, if you put it on the weight, on the scale, it weighs nothing, except you have to have a very special scale for that. Very sensitive scale. So that it would weigh every unit of that little piece. So that's how much value you have in this. Similarly, when it comes to the piece of land, here, based on the dunya, we see how we value these things, right? And we don't mind paying this much because it's going to give me this, alhamdulillah, this advantage in that location. Imagine if it's Jannah, ya Jama'ah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you, this much in Jannah is worth everything in this universe. Now the question for you and I, do you even own that much? Jama'ah, do you own that much? Do you own this universe? Do you own all the things that exist in this world, in this universe? So if it's a matter of owning this, then who's going to be in Jannah? If you're going to pay this much to go into Jannah, who can go to Jannah, Jama'ah, then? How about nobody? No one's going to go to Jannah, right? And that shows you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah and mercy and his generosity. Allah azza wa jalla is not going to compensate you based on what you do, because it's actually deserving this ni'mah that he's given you. He's given it to you out of grace. Out of grace and out of rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your good deeds are only a token. A token, just you showing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Rabbi, I'm trying my best. So the more you do, it's not a matter of working hard, it's really working smart. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do the most valuable thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. You start with the fara'id and then with the nawafil. And you do it with full sincerity from the heart. Even if you couldn't do it, if you have the sincerity for it in your heart and you couldn't do it, Allah will reward you if you have done it. This is how much Allah has opened the door for us. And not just that. For every sayyah, every bad deed that you do, how much you're going to be actually compensated for that, or how much you're going to be punished for, or at least counted for you as a single sayyah. But for every good deed that you do, how much you're going to get? The least is 10. The least is 10. If you do the math, no one should end up where, Jama'ah? In Jahannam. If it's just a matter of math, no one should end up in Jahannam. But when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, it's not a matter of 1 + 1 = 2 with Allah azza wa jal. There's so much khair that you can do to get into al-Firdaus al-A'la. And you can also lose all of that if you don't pay attention to what you do. So just to conclude with this hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to show us that you might be able to bring, alhamdulillah, a'mal, as the Prophet described, kajibal tihama, like mountain range of good deeds. Mountain range of good deeds. Salah, fasting, charities. But all these good deeds would not qualify that individual to go into al-Jannah. Why is that? Because they all came attached. They have a lot of liabilities coming with them. What kind of liabilities are we talking about? We're talking about shatama hada, cursed this person, insulted this person, you know, hurt this person, and they all take from their hasanat. And when they're done, they throw from their sayyat on theirs, and they're gone. So it's not just a matter of investing for Jannah, it's also safeguarding your investment. Make sure to do that, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the utmost reward in Jannah al-Firdaws al-A'la. Allahumma amin. Wallahu alam. Any question, Jama'ah? سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. بسم الله. Go work for Jannah يا جماعة. يا رب.